Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his only arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
And here's the lessons from the epistles. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end.
Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to take a quick moment of privilege, and I recognize Becky Ballinger, who actually led our children's choir on Friday at our family Christmas Eve services. She has so tirelessly led them, and if you were here, and if you went to watch online, you'll hear that they sound amazing. But I know that it was noted incorrectly in our bulletin. So I just wanted to give her a special shout out. Today, I'm going to read a story that I made up, and I'm going to call this Follow the Light. And if there are little young people, you can listen particularly close. And if you're at home, you can lean in a little bit more. It was the night before Christmas, and it was time for bed. So all of the kids put on their PJs and snuggled under their blankets. Tell us another Christmas story, Grammy, said Peter. Do you have another story to tell us, said Lola. You have the best stories, Grammy, said Lola. Did I ever tell you the story of Little Vega, said Grammy. Who is Little Vega, said Lola. Little Vega is not a part of the Christmas story, said Peter. Oh, yes, she is, said Grammy. Grammy sat down on the bed next to them, turned off the lights, and had them stare at the glow-in-the-dark stars on their ceiling. Let me tell you the story of Little Vega, said Grammy. Grammy stretched out her arms and wrapped them around their shoulders. Did you know that God created everything, said Grammy? The sky, the moon, the sun, the stars, dry land, oceans, animal, birds, trees, and even creepy crawlies. And God said it was good. And then God made you and me and said, very good. So God created everything and everything with love. When God created the stars, did you know that God gave the stars a special mission? God did, she said. God gave them the very special mission to shine brightly for all of creation, to remind us that even in our darkest times, God is always with us. The stars were so excited for their mission, they got to twinkle and shine all the time. And all the time, they twinkled and shined. What a great mission. Do only stars twinkle, said Lola. Lola, remember Mommy and Daddy taught us that only stars twinkle? That's how we know if it's a planet or a star, said Peter. But I want to twinkle and shine all the time too, said Lola. Let's listen to the rest of the story and see what we learn, said Grammy. So Grammy continued. Then God gave one star a special mission. There was once a little star named Vega. She was not quite like the other stars. The other stars were big and bright. Their twinkle seemed to twinkle better, and their shining seemed to be the shiniest. Because she was different, she wondered if she was special at all. She was very bright, but she was very small. She wished she were more like the other stars. The other stars were so much bigger than her. I wish I were big like the other stars, she thought. I wish I could be like the sun. She's so beautiful. Little did Vega know, God loved her just as she was. And God loves you too, Lola and Peter, said Grammy. Both Peter and Lola smiled with a slight twinkle in their eyes. One day, said Grammy, God went to little Vega. I love you, precious Vega, God said. I love you too, said Vega. But Vega looked sad as she wondered, why was she so different from the other stars? You may not feel like it, but you're special, little Vega. I have a very special purpose for you. You may be small, but you shine the brightest of all the stars. One day, you're going to be a part of sharing the good news for all of humankind, said God. Vega wanted to believe, but her size made her wonder. I'm the smallest in my class, said Peter. I'm the smallest in our family, said Lola. It's hard being small, said Peter. It is, said Grammy. I too was once small like you, and it was hard. But you know what? That's what makes this story so special. Little Vega didn't like being small. She didn't think God could do anything with her. When God told her that she was going to be a part of the good news story, she thought, me? And God said, yes, you, little Vega. God said that lovingly because he knew just what she was thinking. God told her that there would come a time when darkness would cover the earth and they will wonder if God was with them. And God would send them love and send his very self to be with them as the light of the world. And said to little Vega, you will shine brightly to show the very place where I will be. She was so excited that God chose little old her to do such a special mission, to be a part of sharing the good news. And God continued to love creation and all of humankind every day, all the time. God loved creation. Little Vega continued to grow and grow and grow until she wasn't so little anymore, and her light became brighter and brighter. Was she as big as the sun? Asked Peter. Bigger, said Grammy. Then one day, Grammy continued, God said, it's time, my precious Vega, time to let your light shine and be a part of the good news to all the world that I am with them always. Here you will stand, twinkle and shine for all the world to see. Vega had waited so long for this day, and here it was. Twinkle, twinkle, little Vega, God said. Twinkle, twinkle, little Vega, said Lola. But you know what, said Grammy? What, said Peter. A few people noticed Vega twinkling in the sky and knew that her twinkling brightly in that spot was a sign of good news. So they traveled and followed the light from the east, following the bright star. They knew that where she was twinkling so brightly was a sign that a king was born, and not just a regular king, but the King of Kings. And they were right. Little Vega twinkled above where Jesus, the light of the world, the King of Kings, Emmanuel, was born. There he was, wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger, said Grammy. That was little Vega, said Peter. Yes, that was her, said Grammy. Little Vega, who was not so little anymore, twinkled brightly in joy of the good news that God's love came down on Christmas, said Grammy. So we can twinkle too, said Lola. That's right, Lola. God gave us a special mission too. We get to shine and twinkle too, just as little Vega shined brightly, sharing the good news of Jesus' birth. We too are invited to shine our light and share the good news that Jesus is born. You're never too small to shine brightly. Follow the light of Christ and share the light with everyone. Both Peter and Lola's eyes twinkled brightly. Grammy kissed their foreheads goodnight. I love you. We love you too, said Peter and Lola. As Grammy walked out of the door, she whispered, Merry Christmas to all and all a good night. The end. Thank you for coming up.
Well, it's my turn to tell the story. And I want to give a shout out to Melena Trice for that awesome story that she wrote. And also, she won't like that I'm bringing this to your attention, so close your ears, but she also wrote the play that the kids did last night for our Christmas Eve family worship. So it's clear to me about your legion of gifts, and we'll be proceeding accordingly. That's all I'm going to say about that. So my story is really about my mom and what she has taught me about Christmas. So my mom is one of five kids, and all her siblings have children. And at this point, a lot of them have children too. So when I was growing up, I had all these first cousins, and that's a lot of people to buy Christmas presents for. So I would say to my mom, instead of like everybody buys a present for each one of my ungrateful cousins, like, why don't you just draw names out of a hat like normal people would do? And she would say, honey, you know we're not normal. We don't do that. So what we would do is mother would then have to buy presents for all these people. And my mother has many gifts, but she's not a planner. Like, when I got married, Eric is a list keeper. Like, he's a planning guy. And I remember, like, we got married and we were going to go to the grocery store, and Eric said, well, let's make a list. And I was like, really? Like, to go to the grocery store? And he's like, yeah, you make a list. I'm like, mama never made a list. You just go to the grocery store and you go up and down the aisle and you go, oh, I need eggs. And you put them in the cart. Anyway, so that's just to tell you about my mom and how she thought about things, not a planner. So here we are under the pressure of Christmas. And like, I would come home maybe from college, I'd be like 18, and she'd go, Manda, it's time to go shopping. We got to get presents for all your cousins and all the people. And I'd go, and she'd go, no list. So then we would go shopping, and she would go to one store. And I don't mean like a Walmart or a Target. My mom would go to like a boutique-y kind of store that is not a chain, that is run by a very nice lady with like red lipstick and big hair and a nice southern accent, and they sell everything there. And it's usually like her first name, you know, like Betsy's Boutique. So we would go there, and mother would have grand illusions of getting there early in the day. But no, that's not how she works. We would get there 15 minutes before the thing closed on Christmas Eve with no list. Sometimes she would make a list, but it wouldn't be of objects. It would be of names so that she wouldn't forget any little cousins. But a list of names is only minimally helpful, but she didn't listen to me. So we would go into Betsy's Boutique, and she would just start grabbing things. Just like supermarket sweep, like guys' grocery games. Like, we were just grabbing stuff. And then she'd put it in the basket, and then we'd get up to the cash register, and that's when my mom would bring it into a higher gear. Because by the cash register is all the stuff that is not that expensive that you probably don't need but will fit into a stocking when you're desperate. So she would just grab and grab. And then we would go home. And then she would sit me in the middle of the rug in the living room. And she would dump out everything she bought. And she'd go, figure it out. So I would have to match up all these gifts that really nobody wanted with all these cousins, and she would be like, don't you think that your cousin Hampton would love this candle? And I would be like, he's 14. no, he doesn't want this candle. And she'd be like, I think it would be a good present for him. Yeah, Hampton. Hampton for the candle. And so this has continued in my adult life, and I just wanted to bring, it's just a small sample. Really, there was no planning. I grabbed this off the coffee table because I got her package yesterday. She has prayerfully bought me a book called Who Said That? Take the Quote Quiz Challenge. Fred Shapiro says it's a spectacularly fun and informative book. I don't know about spectacular. It's just an example. So as I have grown, I have learned something, though. There's a method to her madness. And the method to her madness is this. I said to her, Hampton doesn't want a candle. Are you crazy? What are you doing? Like, an 8-year-old does not need like a kitchen towel. I don't know what you're doing. And she would say, Amanda, here's the thing. By the time they get my present, they have gotten so many presents from Santa, they don't know what to do. Because by the time you do family Christmas in my world, after you do that initial heady, go down and unwrap everything that Santa brought you under your tree, she's like, they've gotten all the good gifts. Now they get the gift from me. Now they get the gift from their aunt, you know? And it needs to be quirky and a little disappointing because it's good for them. And it teaches them that Christmas is not about the perfect present. It's not. It's about love and knowing that your somewhat quirky aunt cares about you. And they will remember that their aunt who loved them desperately got them a candle when they were 14. And, you know, it's just not about the actual present. So then as I've grown, she has really pulled a ninja thing on me, and I have really come to see what she's doing. So I wanted to illustrate the things I got last year. So this is one thing she got me. It's a cardinal. And she got it at a quirky Outer Banks craft fair. And when I opened it, my eyes welled up with tears, and I looked at her like, oh, you did it to me again. Because, many of you are nodding your heads, cardinals were like one of my grandmother's birds, and she had a garden and a bird bath. And whenever there would be a cardinal, particularly a red one, she would point them out, right? Like, Mandy, look at the red bird. That's a cardinal. That's the male, you know. And then I would be like, look at that blue jay. That's a beautiful bird. And she'd go, we hate blue jays. Blue jays are bad. But she liked cardinals. So she passed away in 1991 when I was in college. And it was one of the great blows of my life because of how much I love her. And so when I see a cardinal, I think of my grandmother. And so my mother gets me this as a kind of secret message about life and love and the fact that even when we die, it's not over. That we continue to live and love in Christ and that we will see one another again. And all this is somehow bound up in Christmas. It's like Christmas and Easter all at once. And so the last thing I wanted to show you is the other thing she got me last Christmas, which is tucked into this spectacularly fun and informative book. She got me this magnet, and I'm going to hold it so the camera can see it, maybe. This is a quote by Virginia Woolf, and it says, I'm sorry, the tech team, pray for them. They have to deal with me. It's a nightmare. It's a Virginia Woolf quote, and it says, I am never not thinking of you. And I got this, and again, my eyes welled up with tears because it's multi-layered, right? She is saying to me as her daughter, I'm never not thinking of you. But she's also saying, my grandmother is never not thinking of me. That great cloud of witnesses is never not thinking of me. And she's also saying, although she would very quickly tell you that she's not a theologian, She's also saying that we have a God that is never not thinking of us. And that's the best Christmas gift of all. And that's my story. Oh, and as Brad and Debbie come to favor us with really a great song, I want to thank them for their musical gifts and offering that to us and sharing it with us, because they're telling the story too. So let's listen to them tell us about Mary.
Amen. You may stand as you are able for our gospel reading. Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. This is the word of God for all of God's people. Thanks be to God.
My grandfather was a handsome man with a nice nose, slim body line. Unfortunately, my father was not as much. He had a funny nose and a roly-poly belly. The punch was so sponge that I used to lean on it, although my father used to say that he was floating a foot above the ground when he was in good shape. Lying down on a family sofa, he did not like to move. It was usually me who brought ice cream from our freezer. But he was not super chubby either. I would say that he was cutely plumpy. Despite his fat, he abhorred the cold weather. He bragged about how many layers of clothes he wore before going to work. And I want you to remember, as the story goes, that my father hated the cold. My brother wanted to be a prosecutor. As a middle child, he was always teased by me. But he couldn't do the same to our sister because she was the youngest. I was treated well as the oldest. My baby sister was loved very much. But my poor middle brother was striving against unfairness, favoritism, or injustice. And he is now a prosecutor in South Korea. And I would say that his success should be credited to me at least half. And the other half to my sister, because we provided him the motivation. To be a prosecutor, my brother went to a law school nearby where he rented a studio. He studied hard day and night. And it was during that time, 2010, Christmas Eve, pre-smartphone era. My mother called my brother, but he did not answer. Worried, she asked my father to go to my brother's place and make sure that he was okay. And it was the coldest day of the year, like -4 degrees. When my father arrived at my brother's studio, the door was locked and nobody was there. And my father began to wait outside. And it was midnight when my brother finally finished his study and came back. And my father was still there, outside, waiting, standing in the dark and cold. We say we are waiting for God, but who's really waiting? Isn't it God who's standing outside in the dark and cold, waiting for us to come back? Isn't it God who's knocking at the door, waiting for us to open the door of our hearts? In the story of the prodigal son, the father knew it was his son from afar when the son came back from his off life in a foreign land. How come the father recognized his son instantly? The son looked different from when he departed from his father. His fine coat was gone, his neat shoes were gone, his hair was messy, his skin was covered by dirt and dust. He was diminished in shape, weight, and health. How come the father knew his son from far off and ran to his son? Because the father began to wait for his son from day one. The father had gone outside every day, standing on the top of the hill, so that he could see who was coming. The son was always in father's mind, and this father shouted in joy when the son came back. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Our God had waited for us to come back, standing outside every day. But God decided not to wait anymore. Instead, God decided to come into us and has been among us. God came to us through Jesus Christ. God's feet touched dust and dirt. God's mouth inhaled the air we exhaled. God's nose smelled stinky human excrement. God's hands felt our wounds, pains, and suffering. God is with us through Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God is with us. Merry Christmas.